Alma chapter 16. In the first three verses of this chapter, we find that the Lamanites come into the land and destroy the city of Ammonihah as had been prophesied. And we have to ask ourselves again why they had been destroyed. And there are really two reasons. The first reason is that they had become wicked and they'd rejected the gospel of the Lord. And in their wickedness, they had picked up a new religion which said that men should be in charge. And they desired to put these men in charge of the government. And when we do that, this always leads to oppression, and meaning that men continue to find more and more rules and more ways that they need to control their fellow man. And it's the same as today, except for today we have great prosperity in the land, or we have superficial prosperity, which makes people think that everything must be going okay. And as long as they don't feel that oppression or feel the government pressing on them, they don't exactly see this as being oppression. Well, it's the same thing that the people of Ammonihah want to do to the others. And naturally, they said, because they understood all this, that they would be the ones that would be the head of government. And so therefore, they were plotting the overthrow of the Nephites. And that's why they were destroyed. Well, after the Lamanites destroyed Ammonihah, they also attacked some of the lands around there, and they did carry off a lot of the Nephites, and the Nephites were desirous to rescue their brethren who had been carried off. And so the chief captain Zoram decides to do this. Well, in order to figure out how to do it, he goes to Alma, because Alma has the spirit of prophecy, to find out what he should do. Well, this tells us, though, that Zoram did not have the spirit of prophecy. The meaning of this wickedness is that they lacked faith in lacked true faith in the Lord, in that they appointed they did not believe in appointing men of a prophecy to lead their army. They'd rather have the man that seemed, according to the world, more suitable to lead the army. But on the stronger note, though, we did notice that Zoram does go to Alma, which means that he does in fact believe that Jesus Christ is in charge, and that's a lot stronger or more faith than we have in any of our armies today or anything we've seen, because certainly today we'd never consider using the spirit of prophecy in our battles, which is which we don't even find any churches supporting this. So again, we could say they certainly had a lot greater faith than would even find in any of the churches today. Well, Alma asked the Lord, and again he goes to the Lord, and he is told where the Lamanites will be, and exactly where the Nephites should attack the Lamanites, and notice that again in this sense that all prophecy is, in the general definition, is that it foretells the future. It tells the future, and that's what this did, and that's why it was called the spirit of prophecy. Well, therefore, then we have to have faith to believe in that prophecy, and Zoram does believe, and he does exactly what Alma says, and he's able to rescue every single person unharmed. Well, again, we see that because they put their faith in the Lord and did it the Lord's way, rather than, I'm sure there was obvious ways that seemed more better according to men, but nonetheless, they had the faith and did it the Lord's way, they were able to save every person unharmed. Well, then in verse 9, it reviews that Ammonihah has been destroyed, and it again, it says concerning this destruction that they had said that God could not destroy this city because of its greatness. And we have to ask ourselves, how do we feel today? Again, it's the same feeling. It doesn't matter who you are. Oh, obviously the Lord is not going to destroy the great America. I mean, America's got the great army, it's the great industry, it's great everything, and it couldn't be destroyed. And so again, I think that we can see that this is a foreshadowing or a prophecy to us that this is what we're to expect, because we're obviously much in the same state as the people of Ammonihah, and we certainly don't believe that the Lord is the protector of our country. We think it's man, which again, that's what Ammonihah was fighting for, to have man in charge. Well, after the Ammonihah had been destroyed, then they had peace in the land for 3 years. And during this time, Alma and Amulek spend this time preaching repentance to the people. And notice they go out and preach repentance. Now, what is repentance? Repentance is personal repentance. It's what is necessary for a personal character development. And that's what he goes out and preaches. It's not the imitation that we are given today. And that the imitation is, okay, everybody, we need you to work harder in the church, and we need you to listen to your church leaders more. That's obedience to man, and that is not repentance. Repentance is correcting yourself. It has nothing to do with correcting your own personal character. And following some man or doing what some man wants does not change our character. All it does is develop a habit of following that man. And that's the and again, that's the imitation the devil uses to divert us from the real work of personal repentance. And then we have to ask ourselves again, what was the main thing they told him to repent of? And that was pride. We turn to see that over and over and over again throughout Scripture. Pride, pride, pride. Okay, I just repeat that so that we know, but we don't hear much of that at all about that today, because again, that's what we're laboring under a problem with. And even the leaders do not want to, they want to, the very idea that we think men are in charge and you should listen to men is a pride that men are above God. And so they have a pride in themselves and that they think they know best. And so, obviously, they can't teach you, they can't preach to you about pride when they themselves don't even care to recognize their own pride. Well, it then says in verse 15 through 17 that a great missionary work then goes on throughout the land. And this missionary work in verse 18 includes, again, the preaching of repentance. And what did they preach in the missionary work? Well, that's really an interesting and important thing to look at. So let's look at verse 18. It said they did preach against all lying, not just lying, all lying. And then to make that clear, it says, and deceiving, meaning that lying is just not me saying a red house is blue or telling my mother that I did not take the cookie. Lying is any intent to deceive someone else or to lead someone else wrong or to put the wrong impression in someone else's mind. And that has to do in our society with how salesmen act, how advertising goes, how when we talk about creating the laws, meaning how our politicians create images that aren't true, and so on and so on and so on. It doesn't need to be talked about today, but it doesn't have to be spelled out. Every person knows that we live in a society that is not truthful and is not focused on trying to tell the truth and trying to make sure that the another person, whenever they're talking, receives the proper image. It preached against envying, meaning do you envy anything? Do you desire anything? Do you desire to be a football star, or have a house, or do anything? Or be popular, or what else? Do you envy those or people what they are, what they have, or anything? And again, you can see that's a great problem we have today. And then it preached against stealing, robbing, and plundering. Again, it wasn't just some guy breaking into a house and stealing something or shoplifting. It's any form of taking. See, it distinguished between stealing and robbing. And it also included plundering. Plundering is a taking. Again, in our society, it's best understood that stood by the business leaders or the salesmen, or because of their cunning and their understanding of the world, they receive the bigger piece of the pie because of this. But they don't produce a thing. And our whole society, our government, and everything is based on a few producing, and the rest receiving. And it's a plunder society. And that's And the point is that to them, they included that with stealing and robbing, meaning it's how well you can use your word and how well you can present something. It all of a sudden means that you receive some of the, you know, you receive the goods that were produced by another man, but you haven't really added anything to that society. And again, we live in a plunder society, but the point is, in our missionary work, we certainly don't go out and preach against these things. And then when we preach against them, those who want to believe in those things and change and be that way, then those are the ones that we accept into the church. Now, that's not our concept. Our concept is just to build our numbers in the same way that Babylon does. Well, then, so that explained their preaching, how they did missionary work. And again, we see that we do not believe in the missionary work of the Book of Mormon, or as God has told us to do it. In the end, it then says that Jesus Christ will come to the world, and he will appear to the Nephites in person.